everyone today in society is following something. We see a lot of times on television commercials for various programs that if you like them, you can follow them. Follow them on Facebook or follow them on Twitter or follow them on Instagram, meaning that you can go to these accounts, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and follow all the news pertaining to that particular thing that you're interested in and any new announcements that they have about what's going on with their organizations and so on and so forth. Our computers are literally stacked with shortcuts, as are our devices with apps on them. You know, we put those apps on of the things that we follow in life. For instance, I follow Cabela's, you know, for the sales, and I have a little app on my phone, a Cabela's app, that I can go to every day to see if there's any sales that I don't have the money for, but at any rate, I kind of follow that. Every morning, I follow the devotions from Charles Haddon Spurgeon's little devotional morning and evening that comes across my email every day, and I follow them day in and day out. Also follow the emails of devotions from Moody Bible Institute, Today in the Word, that comes across every day, because I follow what's going on at Moody, having graduated there, and so that I know what's going on with the school and new things that are happening and so on and so forth. We all follow something. Many of you follow various sports teams that you're interested in, and you're always up to date on what's going on. Some of you are following various retail organizations on their sales and what's going on. We're all following something. We're interested in them, and they direct us and guide us through everyday life as we follow what's going on with them. What does it mean, though, to be a follower of Jesus Christ? To different people, it means different things. You can ask 10 people on the street what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ, and they'll give you 10 different answers. To some, it means signing on to be part of an organization for various benefits, personal benefits. To others, it means agreeing to certain principles and truths. To others, yet, it means jumping on a certain bandwagon in order to be identified with a certain group or a certain clique in society, giving one status or social standing. Believe it or not, a lot of people join churches and claim to be a Christian for social benefit. It's something on their resume that makes them look good. And also for some, it's for the purpose of receiving expectations of health, wealth, and a good life. And we hear this in the prosperity gospels that are being preached nowadays, telling people to come to Christ because when you do, the Bible promises us prosperity. Jesus came, He said, I came so that you may have life and have it abundantly. Wow, my bank account's going to be big. I'm going to have everything that I want. Well, we know that's not what the Bible is talking about when Jesus said that. For a few people, though, it's to learn, being a follower of Jesus Christ, is to learn to be guided, to be disciplined, to be a sheep. Jesus said in John 10, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I know them and they follow me. Jesus' sheep are Christians. I know them and they follow me. Someone asked me this past week why I thought God called me into pastoral ministry. And I had to think about that a little bit. That is a really, really good question. And the only thing that came to mind was that God called me into pastoral ministry because He wanted me to be closer to Him. And He wanted to direct my life in a way that my life had not been going. That God wanted to discipline me. And He wanted to teach me. And He wanted me to be stronger in my faith journey. And as a result of that, experiencing the abundance that Jesus promised, I'm talking spiritual abundance and peace and wholeness and joy and the fruits of the Spirit, I can share them with others through the gifts God has given me and teach how important it is to be a follower of Jesus Christ. In our culture today, we're encouraged to be leaders. We're encouraged to follow our dreams. Be a leader. We're told that as leaders we can make a difference and we can change the world when we're leaders. We become that by following our dreams. Unfortunately, we can't all be leaders, because then there would be no followers, right? And this is especially true in Christianity. So many people want to be a Christian and they claim to be Christians, but yet they want to be in charge and control that relationship with Jesus Christ. They want it to be their way, you know, like the fast food chain. I'm a Christian, but I know Jesus loves me and I know He cares about me, and I want to do this my way, you see. All of the great leaders throughout history were followers. I was really blessed when I attended Lock Haven University's campus at Clearfield to have a world history professor that openly professed to the whole class that she was a Christian. And she taught world history from a Christian perspective, which was awesome, because one of the things when you stop to look at what has happened in the history of the world, it all has happened due to major shifts and movements of religion. And she taught it in such a way and showed us how religion, namely God, moved people and directed people, and as a result of those people following God, our world has been changed forever. Biblically, we think of the leaders. We think of Moses. We think of Noah. We think of David. We think of the Apostle Paul, the disciples. We lift them up, and they are people that we look up to, you see. We follow God's word and we follow their experiences and what they encourage us to do. But the fact is, they were followers themselves. And the key is that they chose to follow a mighty God who's living and real. Being a Christian involves being Christ-like or little Christs, you see. So, I'm not like Christ. We can't call ourselves a little Christ. Well, that's what being Christian really means. We're to be Christ-like, and we know it's a process. We know it's hard work. It's our spiritual struggle in life to be more like Christ. But that's what God does with us. He takes us and He draws us and He molds us because He wants us to be more like Christ, because when we're more like Christ and closer to Christ, people see a difference and they're drawn to Christ Himself. But first, to be like Christ, we have to be observers. Then we have to be learners, willing to be learners. And then we have to be imitators. And this takes place as we follow our good shepherd. A huge issue with many who call themselves Christians, they want to be known as a Christian, but they want to be the leader and they want to do things their way. And they struggle with God. God, this isn't the way it's supposed to be. I've been praying that it would happen this way. And God says, well, that's not the best way. I know what's best because I can see the bigger picture, and God draws us to do it His way. You see, and sometimes when we find ourselves struggling in our relationship with God, it's because we are refusing to be a follower. We're called to be followers as sheep, or followers of their master or their shepherd. In the 23rd Psalm, the most popular scripture that some will say when you ask them what's your favorite scripture, they'll say the 23rd Psalm, and you say, recite it. Well, they can't. It's the most popular scripture. People know it because they hear it probably more often than any others. David, who knew all kinds of struggle, David who was an adulterer, David who was threatened by his own family to be killed, turned to the Lord and stayed faithful in his relationship to the Lord. And he wrote the 23rd Psalm. But in the 23rd Psalm, we see several things going on that David acknowledges. He acknowledges that if the Lord is his shepherd, he's going to know rest, he's going to know peace, he's going to know wholeness, and he's going to know guidance. And that even though there might be times of trouble in his life, in the valley of the shadow of death, he's not going to be afraid because, you see, God gives him the peace and wholeness that he needs. In fact, he's not only is he not going to be afraid, he knows that the Lord is going to honor him and lift him up, preparing a table and anointing his head with oil, so much so that his cup is going to overflow, not just be three-quarters full. So the this God, this Lord that is the shepherd, gives him rest, peace, wholeness, and guidance. Takes away his fear, honors him, and gives him assurance when David says, surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. Now, let's stop and think about what's going on here a little bit. David says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. Alright, so the Lord's the shepherd, his shepherd, and he makes David lie down in green pastures. David acknowledging that the Lord gives him peace. What do green pastures do? They give us this vision of peace, calmness, rest, you see. And his Lord makes him lie down in green pastures, gives him that peace. But in order for the Lord to do that, the Lord first and foremost, the shepherd, has to know where those green pastures are, right? A shepherd doesn't lead his sheep that he cares about to barren land that's rocky and has no vegetation. He knows where those green pastures are, so he beckons his sheep to follow him, and if they don't follow him, they're not going to find that rest there in that green pasture. David goes on to say, he leads me beside quiet waters. He leads me beside quiet waters. Talking about the Lord bringing refreshment to David, you see. Again, the shepherd makes the sheep lie in the pastures, having known where green pastures are, calling the sheep have to follow him there, and as they find rest there, then it's time to go be refreshed in the living water. The shepherd has to know where that water's clean. You know, you go in the pasture, you're going to find a lot of dirty water. A lot of dirty pools in that pasture. Well, the shepherd's not going to lead the sheep there. He's going to lead them to quiet waters where the sheep can peacefully be refreshed. In order to do that, the shepherd has to know where that is best for his sheep. He beckons them and calls them, and they have to follow him. You see, he leads me beside quiet waters and restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness or rightness for his name's sake. In order for him to be a good shepherd, a shepherd that really knows what he's doing, and a shepherd that cares for his sheep, you see, he's going to lead me in the right paths. He's not going to lead me through the briars. He's not going to lead me where I'm going to be in danger of wolves. He's going to lead me, in the right paths for his name's sake, so that I glorify him, and he receives the glory that's due his name. Because he cares for the sheep. In order to do that, I have to follow him. I have to follow the path that he says is the right path to follow, even though it may not look right to me. You see, he can see ahead on the other side, and he knows what's there. It's all about following. Following, you see. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. Why? Because he is with David. His rod and his staff comfort. He's walking through those dark times in life, you see, and we do that. And even though those times in life might be dark, we're still following the shepherd, and the shepherd might lead us through some pretty dark times, but it's for his glory and our good, because only by going through those dark times are we going to understand fully that we are safe, that he'll remove the fear from us in those dark times. And we'll be comforted when the next dark time comes along. It's all about following, staying focused on the Good Shepherd, and following Jesus. When we stop following him, we no longer find rest, we no longer find peace, we no longer find wholeness, and we're lost. We don't have the guidance, you see, that we need. Being a follower goes against the culture of our day, especially when the thing or the person that we're following is Jesus. It's not a popular solution, you know. Jesus isn't the popular solution today, unfortunately. Secondly, following means moving ahead in whatever direction he leads. Moving ahead in whatever direction he leads. We have to understand that no matter what things look like to us and whatever it seems like to us, we have to understand that if the Lord's our shepherd and we're following Jesus, that He's not going to ultimately allow us to be destroyed, no matter how rough things might be. We sing the song, I can hear my Savior calling. I can hear my Savior calling. And Jesus will never push you, folks. He'll never push you into something that's going to destroy you. He calls us. Calls us over the tumult, the song says. The shepherd calls the sheep, and the sheep follow Him because they know His voice, and they know they're safe following Him. That's why it's so important to be in our Bibles, because we know what Jesus says, that when we think that Jesus is calling us, we can say, oh yeah, that's right, He says this, and He's not going to say something different, you see. We hear Him calling us. Where He leads me, I will follow. Where He leads me, I will follow. I'll go with Him all the way. All the way. I'll go with Him through the judgment. I'll go with Him all the way. He'll give me grace and glory. And I'll go with Him all the way. Another popular hymn that we sing, I've decided to follow Jesus. I've decided to follow Jesus. I've decided to follow Jesus. Three times we witness to that. That's a powerful witness in the Bible if you've ever read about the witnesses. But the key is here, no turning back. The world behind me, the cross before me, no turning back. And though nobody else, though none go with me, still I'm going to follow. No turning back. Will you decide now to follow Jesus? No turning back. No turning back. When Jesus was with His disciples on the night before He died, He had finished washing their feet. He put on His clothes and He returned to His place and He says, do you understand what I've done for you? You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that's what I am. Now I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, and you should also wash one another's feet. Following Jesus, He said, I've set you an example that you should do as I've done for you, and I tell you the truth. No servant is greater than his master, nor a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you'll be blessed if you do them. In other words, following the actions of Jesus and His followers, you see, we're observers. And we're learners along the way. We learn as we go. We observe how Jesus is going to take care of us. We learn all along that we can trust Him fully. And as we observe and learn, we all of a sudden become imitators. Little Christs. Because we're focused on the Good Shepherd. You see. We observe, we learn, and we become imitators. We imitate what we follow, what we learn. It becomes our life, it becomes us, who we are, what we follow. And as followers, little Christ, we then invite others, as He did us, to join the journey on the path, together following our shepherd, our good teacher, to that great Jordan that we cross into the final promised land, into those final pastures. And how can we do that confidently and boldly? Because we've been there. Because He's led us into those pastures that we know is full of danger. It's one of the key focuses in the book I've told you about I'm writing called In Shady Green Pastures. Where are the wolves? They're out scouring the pastures because they know there's livestock there to eat. Where are the thorns growing up? They're growing up in the pastures because the livestock won't eat it. You see. The water that lays in the pools and the meadow pools gets stagnant and stinky and disgusting. And Jesus makes us lie down there absolutely because He's going to lead us to the place where it's going to be most beneficial among all those things. We're going to lay down and we're going to be
find rest, we're going to be filled up with the best that He provides for us, and then He's going to beckon us and we're going to follow to the streams of living water where we are refreshed with fresh water. You see, calm pools and on right paths as we go through life. It's a great journey to be on. It is the most awesome journey to be on. But you know, though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we're not going to be afraid because we know He's with us. That's the most awesome part about being a Christian. Our God is not off somewhere doing something else while we're down here having a terrible time struggling, suffering. Our God's right here with us. In fact, He came in human form and He knows exactly what we're going through. Not only is it an awesome journey, we have an awesome God walking with us all the way on that journey. And where He leads us, folks, we have to follow Him. We have to follow Him. We're followers, we're not leaders, because just about time we say, no, I can't follow Him anymore because look what He did to my life. So we go our own direction. And where do we end up? We end up in a bigger mess yet. Because we can't see tomorrow. We can't see next week. We can't see next year. We can't see when He's coming back. So we get off the path, we end up in the thorns and the thickets. And we start crying out, bah, bah. And Jesus comes to rescue us. Because He is our shepherd. The good shepherd. You see, He's the one who said, my sheep know me. They follow me. It's interesting. He talks in this 10th chapter of John's Gospel about the sheep, the shepherd, the sheep pen, about false shepherds. I'm the gate for the sheep. Whoever come before me were thieves and robbers. I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand's not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when you see the wolf coming, the hired hand abandons the sheep and runs away. Why is that? Because they don't belong to the hired hand. He's just getting paid to take care of them. But you see, when we belong to Jesus and follow Jesus, He doesn't abandon us and run away. He says, I'm the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of the sheep pen and I have to bring them in. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. One flock and one shepherd. And it tells us, if you read on in chapter 10, at these words the Jews were divided. Boy, oh boy, folks, things have not changed much in a couple thousand years. The Jews were divided. Some said Jesus were demon-possessed. Others said these are not the sayings of a man possessed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? And Jesus said, I told you I was the Messiah. The Jews said, when are you going to tell us? You're keeping us in suspense. When are you going to tell us if you are the Christ? Listen to what they said. When are you going to tell us if you are the Christ? Meaning, if you are the anointed one that was promised. When are you going to tell us? You're keeping us in suspense. And Jesus says, oh my gosh, I already told you. How many times have I told you? Look what I've done. Look what I've done. I did tell you, but you do not believe. Not you did not believe. You do not believe. Because the miracles I do in my Father's name speak for me. Jesus did only something that God Himself could do, proving He was God in the flesh. Now I want to ask you folks something. If you want somebody walking with you through the thorns and the thickets of life, through the dark days of life, you need that refreshment, you need that rest, you need that comfort. You want your fear to be removed. God does it through Jesus Christ. We say, well, Jesus died, didn't He? Remember what He said in John 14? I'm going to ask my Father and He's going to send you another counselor to be with you. Spirit of truth. He'll teach you everything that I've told you. And I had it bookmarked here today and I don't know if I still have it. And I wanted to finish with Him in John's Gospel. Jesus said, if you trust in me, you'll do greater things than I've done. In John 14, he said, I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I've been doing, and he'll do even greater things than these because I'm going to the Father. And he went to the Father, the Holy Spirit came and gave us the power, continues to teach us, continues to guide us and direct us to follow Jesus. May we not get lost because we stray. May we not push Jesus out of the way because we desire to take our own path. May we be content to follow Jesus and his commands. And folks, most importantly, may we leave the culture behind us that says we need to be leaders to do anything important. That's rubbish. We're going to leave that behind us. And leave the culture behind us that tells us we can't do anything important unless we're leaders. Because Jesus said, if you follow me, you'll do even greater things that I've been doing. May the Lord bless this word this morning. May the Holy Spirit empower each of us this week. Be content to be followers, because the person we're following is truly in command of all human history. And he's going to lead us, he's going to guide us, he's going to direct us, giving us rest, comfort, assurance, and most of all, eternal life. I shall dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Let's pray. How good it is, my God,